Maybe not. Get ready to turn this thing on. I think it's good to play.
No.
There we go. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. We've got several different readings this morning. I noticed some unfamiliar faces, and so if you don't know what's going on, both of our pastors are away traveling, doing different things. We have one of the elders that's going to do the sermon, pinch hitting, but that's ideally the way that Bruce tries to train everyone, that if you need to step in, you can function as a pastor. If you don't have your Bible with you, we've got two different, they're the same version, two different covers, a blue one or a red one. The ushers will be glad to bring one over to you. Don't be shy about asking for it. The readings today, the first one is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 6, verses 12 to 23. If you've got one of the Bibles with a blue cover, you can find it on page 479, or with a red cover, it's on page 300. We're encouraged to bring our Bibles with us, and for those of you that didn't, like I say, you can get one from the usher. For those of you whose wife cleaned it out of your car because it doesn't belong there, I picked the blue cover because the print is slightly bigger. Maybe I should listen to her when she says I should have my eyes checked. Second book of Samuel, chapter 6, verse 12. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God." So David went down and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would do." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over all the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. The next reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. In the blue Bible, it's on page 1531, or the red one, page 977. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Our final reading today is from the book of Acts. Chapter 2, verses 36 to 41, again in the Blue Bible on page 1695 or the red one, 1078. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
I can have the kids come forward. Thanks, John. I think he'll just turn it off.
I just hit mute, so I don't know what else to do.
Perfect. Coming up, guys. How you doing? Put this over here, actually. A little bit. What were you guys carrying before when you came in here? What did you have in your hands? Palm branches. Palm branches. What was up with those? What was up with all those palm branches? You're waving them. Why? They did it in the Bible. They're praising God. Why were they doing that, do you think? Why did that happen? Go ahead. Why do you think? Because Jesus was King of Kings? Okay, that's right. Anybody else? Any other ideas? He was Lord of all? What else? Anybody else? What do you think? They loved him. Thought that he came to save them from the Romans. That's true, too. That's a big one. You know, Palm Sunday is something we celebrate because on Palm Sunday, God rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people were just so excited that they reacted to having God so close. You know what? I'm going to grab something here. That's not the first time that God ever rode into Jerusalem. Anybody else know when God rode into Jerusalem in the past? It was in the Old Testament. Who knows the name of David? Who knows who David is? Who is David? Killed the giant. He killed Goliath. Go ahead. The son of Jesse. David was a king of Israel. And you know what? Back in the Old Testament, there is something that's called the Ark of the Covenant. And I have some pictures here. I hope you guys can see that. You can look. You see this thing in the back here with the golden angels on this wooden box? You know what this was? This was called the Ark of the Covenant. And who? What was big about the Ark of the Covenant? Somebody said something about, what did you say? It held the Ten Commandments. Anybody else know anything about the Ark of the Covenant? Go ahead.
It held Aaron's staff.
It held Aaron's staff. So there were some things they put in the Ark of the Covenant, wasn't there? You know what else was really unique about the Ark of the Covenant? God was seated between the cherubim. You couldn't see them, but God resided between the cherubim. And whenever Israel would go into battle, they'd take this with them and they'd win wherever they went because God was with them. So David, after he became king, he had this idea. He wanted to take the Ark of the Covenant and he wanted to bring it to where he was in Jerusalem. And so he got an ox. This time the ark didn't come in on a donkey. It was actually pulled by a couple of ox. And they had a big deal, and they had a big celebration. And all the people came out. And David came into Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant. And you know what he wore? He wore a linen ephod. Nobody knows what a linen ephod is, do they? You know what it was? It was a priestly garment. A linen ephod was something that the priests wore. And they also used ephods to get answers back from God from time to time. And David made sure that he was real close to the ark, and he was right in front of it. And as they came in, David was so overjoyed to have God with him. What did he start doing? Anybody know? Go ahead. He was dancing. And the Bible says he was dancing with all his might before God as this came in. It sounds a lot like Palm Sunday, doesn't it? They were so excited. They're all dancing, and the people around them were dancing, and David was dancing, and everybody was happy. Was everybody happy, though? Who wasn't happy? The woman. Who was the woman? The woman wasn't happy. That, you know who wasn't happy? It was David's wife, Michal. She was there, and she was watching her husband dancing with all his might before the Lord, and it says that in her heart she despised him. So she left, and she went back up to the palace, and she waited for David to come back. And when David came back, boy, she let him have it. She came running out to meet him, and she said, "Oh, how the king has dignified himself in front of everybody by disrobing himself. How the king has distinguished himself. You dance before the Lord like that in front of slave girls." You know what she said? "David, you embarrassed yourself and you embarrassed me." You know what David said? Anybody remember how David responded to her? What did he say? Anybody? He said, "This is nothing. I'll become even more undignified. I'll become even more crazy before God because of all God has done for me. That's why I'm dancing like this before the Lord." Now, sometimes when we come to church, some people get a little crazy, don't they? What do they do? What do they do when they praise and they worship? We stand up sometimes and we clap our hands. And sometimes what do some other people do? They raise their hands. And they praise God. Is that a little weird?
Yeah.
You think that's a little weird? A lot of people think that's a little weird. Does it make you uncomfortable?
Yeah.
You know what? David didn't care what other people thought. You know why? He was so excited to be so close to God that God was with them that he said, "You know what? I'm not doing this for any other reason but because of God." And so there's one thing I want you to remember is this. On Palm Sunday, the reason everybody got so excited and laid all the palm branches down in front of Jesus is because God was with them. And God wants us to worship him the way they worshiped on Palm Sunday. Can you remember that? Okay, let's get you some treats. I think we have a lot here. Okay, why don't you go ahead and take one. There you go. Slow down. Slow down. Okay, take it easy. Slow down.
stood before my failure. You carried the cross for my shame. And set upon your shoulders my soul now to stay.
Love to watch the faces of the people who were worshiping in that. It was really something to watch people just worship God that way. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast that heard Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him, crucify him." Will you pray with me? Lord God, we come before you today, Lord, on this day that we celebrate and we remember when you rode into Jerusalem, the triumphant king. Lord, there is a day in our lives where you rode into our hearts also as a triumphant king. We remember that as well, Lord God. I pray, Lord, your blessings upon what is spoken here today. I pray, Lord, that your spirit be present and be with all. In your name I pray, amen. Palm Sunday, we've celebrated this day throughout church history. It's one of these things that's on the calendar. And year in and year out, every year we celebrate Palm Sunday. It's a big deal. Jesus, kind of the culmination of his ministry, is on a donkey. He rides into Jerusalem. God rides triumphantly into Jerusalem. The Bible said there's a very large crowd gathered there. And what struck me, there's different renditions of this. This is one of these events that's recorded in all four Gospels. It was that important. But what the Bible says is that there were crowds in front of Jesus and there were crowds in back of Jesus. It was a time of the Passover. So people were coming to Jerusalem in numbers. There were a lot of people in town. And all of a sudden, this happens. Jesus is coming toward Jerusalem. There's always people following Jesus wherever he went. Some of the people got ahead of Jerusalem and said, hey, Jesus is coming. The teacher is coming. And so that word got there ahead of time. And what's kind of unique to remember about Palm Sunday, this was spontaneous, okay? There's no Twitter back then. There was no this, you know, communication saying, hey, let's all get together when Jesus gets here at this time and day, and I tell you what, let's cut down palm branches, and none of that. The people were purely responding to God, even if they didn't know it fully at that time. That's what they were doing. They were so overwhelmed for years. They had watched. They had participated. They had been touched by the ministry of Jesus. Many of these people in this crowd had been healed by Jesus days, years, months before. They had watched people raised from the dead. They had listened to him teach. They had listened and followed Jesus for years. And the word of him spread. And as one of the kids said, they thought, is this the Messiah? Could this be the one we've been waiting for? Could God finally be coming back to Jerusalem? And they were excited and they responded. This was not the first time, though, however, that God had come into Jerusalem. As John had read in 2 Samuel, the Ark of the Lord, David, had brought into Jerusalem as well. Again, this was not an orchestrated event for David. Now, he had planned to get the ark. In fact, he tried to do it once before. He did it 3 months earlier. And while they were doing the same thing, praising God, dancing before him, worshiping with harps and lyres and musical instruments, something happened on the road to Jerusalem. One of the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah mistakenly grabbed hold of the ark to steady it, and God struck him dead on the spot. And all the celebrating stopped immediately. Everybody was like, whoa. And those scriptures, when you read the Bible verse, it says David was angry. David was angry with God that he reached out his hand against Uzzah. And then he must have thought better that it might not be such a great idea to get angry at God, because then it said he just became afraid. He became afraid, and he said, there's no way I can bring the Ark of God up into Jerusalem with me. I can't do it. So he stops, and he leaves it at a place called into the household of a man called Obed-Edom. He says, here, you keep the Ark. I don't know how thrilled Obed-Edom was to get this thing after Uzzah just died, okay? But he takes it, and he leaves it there, and they all go back to Jerusalem. Now, 3 months go by, reports come back. Yeah, you won't believe what's happening down there, David. This guy's household is getting blessed like crazy. And David's like, okay, God, it must be okay for me to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. We're going to finish this thing. But now, this is my own personal interpretation, I think David took more of a personal role in bringing the ark up after Uzzah was killed. I think David wanted to make absolutely sure nobody got too close to this thing. So I think that's why David began to be in front of the ark himself, paving the way. And the scripture says he wore a linen ephod. Okay? Now, I've really struggled with what is a linen ephod. And I looked it up, and it is a priestly garment. We've seen many renditions of this event. In fact, here's another one lately. I don't know how many of you have watched on cable, the Bible, the thing they were doing on cable, and they showed this. They blew this. They totally blew the Ark of the Covenant coming into Jerusalem. Okay? It was unfortunate because they missed the point. They showed David dancing with Bathsheba, babe. That's not what this was about. Bathsheba had nothing to do with the ark coming into Jerusalem. That has nothing to do with David dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. What happened was this. You got to understand the story of David to find out what happened to David. Okay? David was a boy tending sheep. He was anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel. Problem, Israel had a king. Saul was king. Saul had sons. He had heirs. So how is this thing going to happen? How is God going to take the kingdom and actually get it to David? Well, one thing David did not do ever is he never took things into his own hands. He never forced it. I should say most of the time he didn't. But he let God do it. There were two occasions after David came into the service of Saul where Saul was chasing him. David could have killed Saul twice. He had the opportunity to take Saul's life twice. And the men with him said, David, can't you see God has delivered him into your hand? He anointed you king over Israel. This is how he's going to do it. Just kill him already. And David says, never. Never going to happen. I will never raise my hand against the Lord's anointed one. God, you want me to king? You figure it out. Because I'm not going to take it on myself. You're going to have to do it. So he lives in caves, and he flees from Saul. And in the course of time, God works it out. David gets himself in some real crazy situations, okay? On one event, he's lined up with the Philistine armies ready to attack Israel. You wonder what he was going to do because he knew he wasn't going to do it. The Philistine commanders at that point said, no way. We are not letting David, the one who they said Saul has killed his thousands, David his tens of thousands, he is not going to lead these armies against Israel because he's going to turn on us. And David's like, what have I done? He's playing the innocent guy. So they send him away. The battle takes place. Saul and his sons are killed. And David becomes king of Israel. But it wasn't just on David that this spirit had rested. It was on his men. If you read about David's mighty men, it's amazing what these guys accomplish. I'm going to butcher their names. I'm sorry, but Joash Beshabeth says he killed 800 men with a spear in one encounter. This is God working through a man. Eleazar stood his ground after the Israelites retreated. One man stood his ground with a sword in his hand. And it said he fought until the sword was frozen to his hand. God was on him. Abishai raised his spear. He killed 300 men. One guy took out 300 men with a spear. And then there was Benaiah, who struck down two of Moabite's best men. He killed a lion. And then it says he killed a huge Egyptian who had a spear. He went after him with a club. He went after this huge Egyptian who had a spear. He goes after him with a club. He took the spear and killed him with it. This spirit of God was on the army of Israel. The spirit of God was on a nation. Israel had been selected by God to be a nation and to be separated. And in 1 Samuel 5, verse 12, after David had conquered Jerusalem, David said, "And David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel." So God, David sees what's going on here. And as David is standing in front of the Ark of the Covenant, the Spirit of the Lord that's on him absolutely overwhelms him. And he begins to dance. He begins to dance with all his might. This was not a planned event. This is David responding to God. That's what this is. Now there's a third time when the Holy Spirit, when God came into Jerusalem, and that was on the day of Pentecost. It says that the Word of God fell. Jesus is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God fell on the people at Pentecost. And What truly amazed me about that is how the power of God was on the church. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about miraculous healings. I'm not talking about Philip being transported from one place to another, or visions or dreams or anything like that. I'm talking about something even more miraculous than that. In Acts 4:32, it says, "No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. They sold lands and houses, laying the money at the apostles' feet, money distributed to anyone as they need." That's the biggest miracle I've ever heard of in my life. These people were so overwhelmed, so consumed with God, nothing else mattered to them in life. Nothing else was important except their relationship with God. That's what Palm Sunday is about. That's where these people had started. They were so close to the Lord. They were responding to God. God was near them. And they were overwhelmed with it. And they began to do these things, to dance and to cut branches and to lay them down as Jesus came into Jerusalem. So how do you go from Hosanna to the Son of David to crucify him in 5 days? How does that happen in the life of a people, in the life of a person, in the life of a church, in the life of a nation? How did that happen? How did David, who danced before the Lord with all his might, go from dancing before the Lord to sinning with Bathsheba? How does that happen? How did you have a church, an early Christian church, in the book of Acts that was full of the power of the Holy Spirit, moving in the power of God, end up to be what it was by the time the Reformation came around? How does that happen? How do you get there? I was foolish enough to ask Bruce Harmon that question about the church. I said, "Bruce, how did it happen? We were studying the book of Acts, the early church, and we were reading about what was going on in the church of Acts. I said, "Bruce, what happened? What happened to this church we read about that it became what it did by the time the Reformation came along? What happened?" He says, "Oh, you know, Jeff." Now, you got to understand, Bruce Harmon, yes, he's my pastor. He's also my friend. So he answered me honestly and truthfully and brutally. He said, "You know, Jeff, it's the same way it happened here at Lamb of God. In the same way it happened in your own life. Same thing." That was his answer to me. And I'm like, okay. Because I knew what he meant. How far have you fallen? Have you forsaken your first love? Remember the height from which you've fallen. You know, I don't have to talk about or try and figure out how it happens. I know how you go from Hosanna to crucify him in 5 days. I don't need 5 days. I can do it in 3. I'm capable of that. I can do it in 3 hours. I know what happens. A little bit of compromise comes in your life. A little bit of tasting a fruit, a door, a window that's been closed all your life, finally comes open. Funny about habitual sins, they were never a problem before you ever tried them, right? Before you tasted the fruit, it was never an issue in your life. Now it's a bondage. How does that happen? It's a little bit of compromise. It's a little bit of slipping away. Sometimes it's faster. Sometimes it's just a complete fall very quickly. Peter, think of what happened to Peter. He was moving in the power of Spirit. He said, "Jesus, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah." He did that by the Spirit. And then he's denying that he ever knew him. We know how it happens. I'm no longer trying to figure out how did I get from where I was to where I'm at. My question now is, Lord, how do I get back to Palm Sunday? How do I get back to where I was with you? That's what I want to know. The answer to that is always the same. It's always the Word of God. It's always God coming to us. You see, on the day of Pentecost, the Word of God did fall. It fell, and it fell hard. And we read in that account that the people were cut to the heart. That's what the Word of God does. It cuts sharper than any double-edged sword. It goes deep, dividing sinew and marrow. It goes to the very essence of your core, and it divides to the very being who you are. That is what the Word of God does. The Word of God cuts. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, came to David through Nathan the prophet. David said, I've sinned. David did something that we need to keep in mind. David went back to God, kneeled before him, and he began to pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God, because I don't have a pure heart anymore. I need you, Lord, to create. Not clean it up. I need you to create. I need you to give me a new heart, because this heart I have is tainted. Renew my spirit within me, Lord, because my spirit needs to be renewed. My spirit has been drawn down in the depths of the mire. Funny how these little compromises build walls, and all of a sudden we're going, I don't know how I got here anymore, Lord. There's this wall between you and I, and what becomes our biggest fear? Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's my biggest fear. I don't want God to cast me out of his presence. Don't deal with me as you did Saul. Because God did take his spirit away from Saul. Lord, please don't take the spirit away from me. Before I get to that point, Lord, please take my life. Take me out of this earth. Do not allow me to lose my faith in my salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, I've often thought of David when he fled Jerusalem from Absalom. As he was leaving Jerusalem, I wonder if he could remember what it was like to dance before the Lord. I wonder if he could remember. Lord, I'm trying hard to remember what it was like to be in your presence, but I'm so far from you right now, I can't remember it. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Bring me back, Lord, to Palm Sunday. And Lord, grant me your willing spirit which sustaineth. I don't ever want to go back to where I was, Lord. Bring me back to where you are. Bring me back into your presence. Fill me with your spirit and sustain me. Because if this is up to me, Lord, I'm going to fail. That is the prayer David offered to God, and God restored him. And God will restore me, and God will restore you. I don't know where everybody else is here. I don't know how you're coming into Palm Sunday today. Maybe you've never had a Palm Sunday. My prayer for you is that Pentecost will come into your life, that the Spirit of God, the Word of the Lord, would come upon you in power, as it did on these disciples on the day of Palm Sunday, as it did on David as he danced before the throne of God. I pray that would come upon you. I don't know if you're part of the 40. Not the 40, but the 40 days. I think of this. There's this crowd of people on Palm Sunday, right? They're all praising God. They're all giving their hearts to the Lord. Some of the people in that crowd, I have no doubt, were there on Friday shouting, crucify them. Some of those people were there. Most of them just walked away. This isn't quite going the way I thought it would go. I gave my heart and my life over to the Lord, and this isn't quite what I had in mind. I don't understand why I still have all these trials and troubles and things going on in my life. This isn't what I had in mind. So they kind of walk away. And they're confused because they're going, I remember what it was like on the day of Palm Sunday. I remember what it was like to be in the presence of the Lord, but I don't know. It's almost like God is dead. This crowd who gathered on Palm Sunday for 40 days after the resurrection, they didn't know what was going on. They walked on this earth for 40 days thinking Jesus really wasn't it. Oh, they heard rumors. They heard rumors of this resurrection, but that can't be true. That doesn't make any sense. And it wasn't until Pentecost, when the word of God fell, that they were cut to the heart. Their eyes were opened, and they were brought back into a relationship with God. My prayer is that the Lord today would bring us back to Palm Sunday, that we would remember what it was, and we would return and we would live there throughout the rest of the days of our lives. You pray with me. Lord God, come into our lives, Lord. Send the word, Lord. Send Jesus into our hearts. Purge us, Lord. Remove all that should not be there, Lord God. We pray, Lord, for your presence in our lives. Lord, those walls that have been raised between us, I pray, Lord, in your name that they be torn down. Lord, the fruit we've eaten, the compromise that has become a habitual sin, which has become a bondage, Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would move in our hearts and you would deliver us from that. Take it away, Lord. Bring us back into a relationship with you, we pray. Bring us back to Palm Sunday, Lord God. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Do I have the offering now?